Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby. Hope you're all doing well. Remember, you want to support the show? Go over to the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. You can get all the social media there, Facebook, Instagram, The Great Divide Podcast. Again, thegreatdivide1776.com. All the episodes, all the social media. Anyway, still a lot going on in Israel, between Israel and the terrorist organization Hamas, which it's interesting. I on social media, Facebook mostly, I posted a few things in support of Israel because I, like every other rational American citizen, knows that Israel is our, one, it's the only democracy in the Middle East, and it's our only real ally there and one of our strongest. So yeah, I support Israel. So I put some posts up, and one of the posts, it got something like 200 comments, and most of them were, I stand with Palestine and anti-Israel and just badgering and attacking. And it's amazing. It's amazing around the world. You're seeing this support for a terrorist organization. I'm not in the military. I was never in the military. I don't pretend to know military operations. I read everything just like everybody else, and I form my own opinions. I do know it's obvious Hamas is a terrorist organization. I've said it in the past to a few people that if Hamas laid down their weapons and stopped attacking, there would be peace in the Middle East. But if Israel laid down their weapons, Hamas would immediately take over and systematically kill Jewish people in the streets, because Hamas does not want peace. They want Israel. That's the fact. And I'm always willing to debate and argue. So if you want to prove me wrong, have at it. Let's go. But I'm going to get more into some things with Israel. It's a shame of what's going on, obviously. And it's a shame how members of our Congress, our government, and even our president, the Biden administration, is handling that. We'll circle back to that a little later in the show. I wanted to start out with this, the community of acceptance, supposedly, that they're called, the LGBTQRSTXYZ community. You know, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, queer, this sexual, that sexual. I don't know how many sexuals they're up to now. I know they have a lot of letters. You know, I have a lot of gay friends, and I have no problem with homosexuals, gays, lesbians, bisexuals, transgenders, whatever you want to call yourself, whatever you are, whoever you love, whoever you lay with, more power to you. I don't have a problem. What I have a problem with is the hypocrisy of what the LGBTQRST community is supposed to stand for. And I think it's a joke now, because it's another organization that is losing their way, losing what their values are. And from what I understand, they are supposed to be advocating for equal treatment of people of different sexual orientations, whether they love men, love women, same sex, bisexual, the gay community. That's what I call it, the lesbian gay community. There's too many letters. There's too many genders for me to understand and remember. So if you get offended, too bad. But they're supposed to be the community of acceptance. But as we know, they are not. They're not acceptance of anybody. Most of them are sick, ankle-biting leftists that if you tell them you're a Republican or a conservative, they want to do like what Hamas wants to do with the Jews and lynch you in the street. They hate you. They think you're a white supremacist and everything else under the sun, and that you hate gays. You're homophobic, you're transphobic, and all these other nonsense, bullshit-phobic terms that they come up with on a daily basis, which I know I am not, because again, I have gay friends, I have lesbian friends, I have bisexual friends, I know trans people, and I have no problem with any of them. Just like I don't have any problem with anybody because of their skin color. You know, like what now the schools want to teach. Like the left wants to teach with all their ridiculous identity groups. Because again, the Democratic Party, that party is segregation. But anyway, LGBTQ community, the reason why I'm bringing this up, because now all of a sudden, they now will not, they're supposed to accept everybody. And they don't, we know that. You have to have a tattoo, you have to have a tattoo of a rainbow flag on your lower back and wear a frilly bonnet and march in a parade apparently now to be accepted. And dye your hair a bunch of different colors. And say you're some sort of gender other than a man or a woman. Anyway, now they hate cops. They hate the police. In New York, the LGBTQ, RST, XYZ, yeah, community said they are banning cops. The organizers of the Pride Parade, because Pride is coming up in June, Pride Month, the organizers of the parade in New York, I don't know if other cities are following suit right now, but New York parade organizers are saying the police department is banned from marching or having any part in the parade. Now, there are fraternal organizations in the New York City Police Department for gay police officers. I think it's called FLAG, Lesbian or Goal. I forget what it's called. The fire department has one and the police department has one. Anyway, they would always march in the parade. They're gay police officers, they put their police uniforms on, they march in the parade the same as if they would march in, say, St. Patrick's Day Parade or the Thanksgiving Day Parade or the Columbus Day Parade. I'm not going to stop calling it Columbus Day, by the way. I'm a New Yorker. The mayor can go shit in his hat. Anyone else who wants to call it indigenous, whatever the heck day you want to call it. I'm not even Italian. It's Columbus Day. Let's stop with the nonsense. Anyway, so the police march in the gay pride parade in the city. Organizers told them, not anymore. You guys can't, and you can't do it at least probably for the next 5 years. You're banned from the parade. Okay. The community of acceptance. The community that accepts all gays, homosexuals, queers, lesbians, whatever, cisgender, that gender, your gender, my gender, every gender. They do not want the police officers. They don't want the police. They think the police could... They don't feel safe around the police, that there's a sense of violence around the police. I understand if they want to jump on that bandwagon with the nonsense police brutality and thinking that the police are out there hunting, you know, blacks and gays on the street every day. But the people that are members of the gay community, gay police officers, if you're gay, you're considered a member of the LGBTQRST community. So because they're police officers, they can't march in the parade. And this is just disgraceful hypocrisy because now the LGBTQRST community has now segregated themselves even more where now if you're a police officer and you're gay, you're not welcome. You're not welcome. So if I'm a gay plumber, I'm welcome. If I'm a gay garbage man, I'm welcome. If I'm a gay fireman, I'm welcome. But if I'm a gay police officer, I'm not welcome. And there's no logic behind it. This is just one of those sick, you know, let's listen to the radical progressives and let's push that anti-abolish and defund the police agenda as far as we can, get the gays involved to get the organizers to not accept the police. And what it seems now is all of these ridiculous radical organizations like Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the LGBTQ community, they all seem to have this circle of in common of hating the police because they all think, you know, the police are out to get them. And we know that's nonsense. So that's, I wish somebody would further explain the reason. Oh, the police are violence. We don't feel safe. They're going as far as they told the police department that they're going to be hiring private security. And it doesn't seem there's a big pushback on the police department. And obviously the mayor's not going to do anything because you know, he's a Democrat. He'd love if the police weren't there either. You know, he thinks the police are bad because he's white and has a black son that he's afraid of, afraid for, maybe become victim of the police. He's actually said that in the past. But not for nothing, but if I was the mayor in New York City and this was going on, I would tell that community, the LGBTQ, RST, XYZ community, with all their genders, your parade permit is not going to be granted because you're trying to bar and ban the New York City Police Department, who's charged with the protection of the community and the people at that parade, from participating. Like, you don't get to call the shots, people. I don't know who you think you are, but de Blasio, the mayor of New York, from what I'm seeing, I haven't read much more on it, isn't taking a stand. So they're going to allow this, first of all, private security, these we'll call them rental cops. So they're going to have a bunch of them standing on street corners. And what are they going to do? Who are they protecting and what are they protecting them from? The police did say they would still be there. I mean, it's their job to protect the community. They're not going to march in the parade. And it almost seems like they're taking a step back and, okay, we're going to kind of stay unseen. And that, I think, is complete nonsense. The police, it's a community event. It's a large scale event. Often these people are subject to hate crimes, which never should happen to anybody. And the police should be there to protect them. As far as marching in the parade, I think that's nonsense. I guess the parade organizers can say who can march in the parade and who can't. But I don't believe they should have any say in who can be there to provide protection. I don't think any of these private security companies that they want to hire should be allowed. Obviously, they can hire them as long as they're licensed and have the proper security credentials and licenses. But it's going to be interesting how that unfolds. And I think it's disgusting, completely disgusting, that a community who's supposed to be all about acceptance because of differences, and they all want to be treated differently, which I understand. There are people out there that don't like gay people. And I don't like those people that don't like gay people, because I don't like people that don't like people because of the color of their skin. Everyone's part of the human race. We all have our quirks. We all have our differences. We have different color skins. Some people like and love someone of the same sex as them. Some people want to be a biological man and dress up as a woman and call themselves a woman. Fine. I don't care. I'm not going to make an issue out of it. Unfortunately, there are people out there that will, and they should be just shunned and not dealt with. But the LGBTQ community should not be saying, well, you're not welcome here, because you're supposed to be that community of acceptance. And, you know, it's just sad. It's just sad to see that we're at this point. So hopefully maybe something will change. They'll come to a resolution. But I condemn the LGBTQ community just for banning the New York City Police Department, their gay officers, from being part of the parade. And like I said, hopefully something good comes out of it in the end. Okay, I want to talk about the whole notion of this social media out there in the world. There's so much going on in the social media world. It's a world of its own. Especially if you have kids, you know this, or you use social media for a certain reason. But lately, even since Donald Trump was president, we know that this whole social media world has been a little out of control. I mean, every time you turn around, they're having a congressional hearing with Zuckerberg from Facebook, and was that other guy, Jack Dorsey from Twitter, and whoever else from these platforms, and they're asking them questions because they're everywhere from, you know, influencing elections because of, you know, they're big tech and they can't be trusted. Or their platforms on censorship, and if they should be censoring, and free speech platforms, and it's a private platform, and there are so many variables. and we could talk about all the moving parts for hours and hours and hours. I mean, they have congressional hearings on it. Do I agree that a sitting president of the United States was censored, and then when he became a private citizen and a former president, that he was banned from large social media platforms? No, I think it's ridiculous. There's no merit behind it. I think anyone who supports it is just an idiot. They don't know. They support it because they, oh, orange man bad. I hate the orange boogeyman. So yeah, he should be taken off everything and put in jail for whatever reason they decide to come up with that period of time in their idiotic moron heads. Anyway, but the thing that really concerns me with social media, and I'm talking Facebook, Instagram, you have Twitter, TikTok, there's a lot of them out there, Snapchat, are the children, the kids. I have an 8-year-old, so if you have a kid, you may have a kid 7, 8, 9. I mean, I'm seeing 9-year-olds with cell phones, which, you know, my 8-year-old doesn't have a cell phone. She has a tablet, but it's closely monitored. But yeah, they have the Facebook Messenger, and then they have Messenger Kids, which is you can look at it and approve every message and who your kids talk to. Strangers just can't come in, although I have heard some stories about that being hacked. And then they're coming out with this thing, which I'm not a, I think they're coming out with it, or they're talking about it, Instagram, which is owned by Facebook. Instagram for kids. This I'm not comfortable with, because it really, I feel like this is just a recipe for disaster, and you're going to get the sick and twisted pedophiles and child molesters and just creeps out there making up profiles as if they're kids, so they can look at kids' photos that they post on this Instagram for kids, engage in conversations with them, victimize them, lure them, who knows what else. Could be worse, could be a lot worse. We're talking sex trafficking, and it goes on from there. You know, sex trafficking, child trafficking is a huge, huge business, people. I was last night, I was making dinner for my mother and my wife, and we got into talking about the old days. Yeah, I'm 42 years old, so we were talking about how when we were kids, we'd be on our bikes. We're talking, you know, 8, 9 years old, and we take our bikes to the park, no parents. We'd come home when the street lights come on, or when mom yells for dinner, and we were out there in the neighborhood by ourselves, most of the time in a group, but we wouldn't think twice about walking home alone from school and everything else. And then we fast forward to today, we were talking about, now imagine, like, first of all, my 8-year-old daughter is not going anywhere without me. She's not walking down the block. She's not walking around the block. She's not riding her bike around the block without my eyes on her. And most parents are like that with their younger children. And it concerns me, because then I say, well, what's a good age where she can venture out on her own with friends, not by herself? And it even scares me when I have friends who have 12, 13, and 14-year-old daughters. And when, you know, you're talking about a 105-pound girl who wants to walk to her friend's house, and you have to have that in the back of their head, that creepy white van that pulls up, the slide door opens, and the girl disappears. And I always think that way. I like to just know that kids are going to be safe. So then you take that, you bring it into the social media world, and there are so many disgusting pedophiles out in social media. I mean, I think that's the biggest place for them. I know people that's, you know, social media is horrible. It shouldn't exist. It was the worst thing ever invented. I disagree with that, because social media has different uses. I utilize social media for company branding, podcast. I use it as a tool. Social media to me is a tool. Instagram, Twitter, for content, for my other businesses. You know, people were using it when it first came about, connecting with old school people they went to school with. Maybe they found family members that they disconnected with. They found family members they didn't even know they had, and so on. But the danger to kids and really, really concerns me. But what also concerns me is the censorship. Like on Facebook, you can't even play a video a video. I can't post a video of a portion, say, of a Donald Trump speech. Anything that his voice is audible on, Facebook is going to take off. They recently, a couple months ago, he did an interview with I forget who it was, and they I think it was his daughter-in-law, and it was posted, I think, on YouTube or whatever it was in Facebook, and within 24 hours it was taken off. Gone. Imagine you can go onto YouTube. You could pretty much find most where they tape it anyway, videotape it, president speeches, you know, Kennedy, Reagan, so many. But you can find Trump on YouTube, but you'll never find it on Facebook. They'll keep removing it. They'll keep removing it. And they even on YouTube, they'll remove certain videos of Trump on there. They won't allow them on there. And if you post them too much, they'll throw you in Facebook jail. I was thrown in Facebook jail for a couple months ago for posting a Trump video. I don't even remember what the video was. And I was, I think I was frozen, locked out of my account for like a week. And that was removed. It went against community standards because, again, you know, the orange man Trump is bad. But what else is funny is you can't have the former president of the United States cannot be on Facebook, but the terrorist dictator, or the Ayatollah in Iran, who hates our guts, can not only be on Twitter and all these other social media platforms, but they can post things about death to America. Iran can post propaganda videos on Twitter about blowing up the Capitol in the United States. And that's okay. That's allowed. That's not taken off. There are people, bad people on there who just shit talk our country over and over and over from time and time again. And they're still allowed on the platforms. But if I post something on Facebook about the coronavirus, and I got 30 days in Facebook jail for using hashtag China virus. So, but other countries can dictators and terrorists can talk about death to America on social media platforms, and that's okay. And that's where more of this hypocrisy just and the double standard is just crazy. And with social media, again, does it have its place? Absolutely. Like I said, a tool. It's a great tool. But with your kids, you got to be mindful. You can't be complacent. You have to watch what your kids are looking at and who they're talking to. They all are on tablets. They all watch videos. They're all looking on different things. I don't believe children should be on social media until they're older. I don't know what age is acceptable. I don't know. Do I think a 13-year-old girl should have a Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter? I want to say no. Another thing that this TikTok thing is ridiculous. I went on TikTok to make a couple videos for the podcast, and just to see how it would take. A couple of them had like 80,000 views. One about masks, and just they were joke videos. And then I'm looking at some of this stuff, and it's like girls, 12, 13 years old, going, they're in their bedrooms or at a park with friends, and they're doing these dances to a specific song. And the song isn't a song that a 12 and 13 year old girl should be dancing to, let alone dancing the way they're dancing in some of these TikTok videos to this song. I'm imagining that most of their parents like aren't noticing. Instagram is the same thing. They have these things called reels. And there are these girls who are junior high school age, definitely not 18, far from it. And they're making these provocative videos. Obviously, there's no nudity. It's on Instagram. But it's definitely videos that you wouldn't want your daughter making at 12, 13, and 14 years old, even 15 or 16. And they're making them, and they're calling themselves social media influencers and TikTokers and everything else. And then if you check out the homepage of like the Instagram profile and the bio, some of these, I mean, they have hundreds of thousands of followers. I mean, and they're 13-year-olds shouldn't be doing again, certain dances in bikinis by the pool. It's disgusting and it shouldn't be allowed. And I guess it is allowed unless the specific parent doesn't allow it. Some of these pages, these accounts, it'll say on there, if the girl's name is, I don't know, Jen, run by Jen's mom, for business inquiries, send a message, or there's like a site or something you can go to. What business inquiries? There's a 12 and 13 year old on Instagram dancing around a pool in a bikini. What business inquiries could there possibly be? Why does a 13 year old dancing around in different bikinis around a pool have 200,000 followers on Instagram or TikTok, and then the profile says, run by mom? What is wrong? What is wrong? How stupid are these people? You want to exploit your kid? That's what they're doing. They're exploiting their children. They're making their children sexual objects. And when they're 12 years old and they put a bikini on, that's just, and then they try to make themselves look like they're 22 years old, and some of them are pulling it off. It's disgusting and sad. These are kids. No, but who, and parents are allowing it, and the ones that don't know about it. Oh, hey, did you know your 13-year-old daughter has 200,000 followers on Instagram because she dresses like a whore around the swimming pool? Did you know that that's what she does with her friends? Half these parents are such idiots. Oh, they're just kids making videos. Oh, yeah? Well, you know how many 50-year-old guys or whatever it is that are watching your 13-year-old daughter by the pool and what they're doing and what they're thinking, and maybe they're using that business inquiry link? For business inquiries, send a message. Give me a break. But Instagram allows this. But if I posted something about, oh, maybe Trump's going to run in 2024, boom, taken down, you're not allowed to say that, or you're not allowed to say the China virus, but a 13-year-old can shake her ass in a bikini or in a cheerleading outfit or whatever the hell the costume is of the day that they're doing. And this is allowed. This is allowed. So, if you're listening and you have a 12-year-old daughter, a 13-year-old daughter, and a 14-year-old daughter, and they're glued to their phones, maybe you should ask them if they have an Instagram. Maybe you should ask them if they have a TikTok. Maybe you should ask them if they have a Facebook. And then demand to look at it. You might be surprised on what you see. With the TikTok challenges and this challenge and that challenge, and they're dancing like they're in a strip club at 13 years old. This is the society we're living in. Bad shit is going on out there, people. Bad shit. Kids disappear. They get trafficked. Some of them you never heard from again. Some of them are coerced into it and exploited and blackmailed where they're too scared to tell someone. And most of it starts with a contact on social media. Is social media dangerous? Absolutely it is. Is social media necessary as a tool for certain instances? Absolutely it is. I've become very successful because partially of social media and my other businesses and doing the podcast. Without social media, well, I wouldn't be here right now. It's just a scary time in the world. And don't get me wrong, because it's a great time to be alive. There are so many good things happening between technological advancements and just things in the world. It is a great time to be alive, but there's a lot of crap going on. The country's divided, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, unfortunately race, which shouldn't be. And I think that's mostly because of white liberal Democrats that want to push the racism card and the ridiculous racism that's creeping into our schools that we have to fight like hell to keep out. Just watch your kids. That's it. Just watch your kids. Keep an eye on what they're watching. Keep an eye on what they're doing on social media. It's not that hard. It behooves us to be good parents. Okay. Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader out of New York, my senator, unfortunately, met him a bunch of times. He's a big phony is what he is. He's a piece of garbage. And he's at odds with his party, it seems. But we're not seeing at a lot of Chuck right now. He's posting a lot recently about his, you know, clean car initiative and getting rid of gas cars and going all electric, post after post after post. I troll his posts constantly on all the clean car Facebook posts. I comment with a gif of diesel trucks revving their engine with all the black smoke coming out. If you go on Chuck Schumer's Facebook and you see those, you'll see that's me. I always get attacked for it, but, you know, I don't care. So I want to talk about Chuck Schumer and Israel. Now, Chuck Schumer, he's Jewish. Matter of fact, he's the first Jewish Senate Majority Leader ever. He actually built his whole political foundation in New York with heavy, heavy Jewish support. He's from Brooklyn, a heavy Jewish area, with his pro-Israel ideologies. But he's a hypocrite because all of this stuff that's going on with Israel and Hamas, you would think, as pro-Israel as Chuck Schumer is, and being Jewish, he would be speaking out in support, which he's done in the past, in support of Israel defending itself, and how Hamas is a terrorist organization. But Chucky's not doing that. And Chucky's not doing that because, well, he's the Senate Majority Leader. However, all of these sick progressives in his party, like AOC and Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, you know, the terrorist squad, amongst others, they're all condemning Israel, and they are standing with the Palestinians in support of Hamas. Yeah, there are members of the United States Congress, the terrorist squad, who are standing with Hamas and condemning our biggest ally in the Middle East, Israel. This is what progressive, Democrat, sick and twisted United States members of Congress are doing, amongst others. Joe Biden calls Prime Minister Netanyahu and says that he expects a de-escalation of what's going on. Like Daddy called and said, you better stop this. So, first of all, Israel's a very strong company, a country, military-wise, and you know they do buy. Matter of fact, they just a weapons deal was just approved for $700 and something million for Israel. But actually, a month before this whole conflict started with Hamas attacking Israel, Joe Biden sent them $200 and something million for, I don't know, labeled as some nonsense humanitarian BS. So Joe Biden wants a ceasefire. He hasn't specifically said that he is supporting Israel or anything like that because he knows there's too many progressives in his party. There's too many radicals in the extreme left, and his handlers aren't going to allow him to do that. Now, Chuck Schumer, on the other hand, he shouldn't care what anybody says, and he should be out in favor and in support of Israel defending itself. But he just recently, about a day ago, said that they said he signed on to the hopefulness of a ceasefire. What happens if there's a ceasefire? I've been saying it. Nothing is going to stop. Hamas is not going to stop terrorizing Israel, especially now, knowing that the United States has a weak administration and is not going to step in and do anything. First of all, this wouldn't have happened under the Trump administration. That's a fact. Look at all of the Middle East peace agreements that happened during the Trump agreement, the Abraham Accord. I don't know if I said that right, but all of those countries involved in that, in those peace treaties, none of them have taken themselves out of the peace treaty since this has been going on for the past week or so. Okay, this never would have happened under Trump, and if it did happen under Trump, I'm pretty sure we would have reinforcements there standing next to our allies of Israel, defending Israel against a terrorist group, Hamas. But no, Chuck Schumer isn't doing that. Chuck Schumer's calling for a ceasefire. Now again, I don't know about war, about military operations or tactics. I would say common sense is nobody fights to get to a draw in anything, whether it's war, a boxing match, a baseball game, a board game. You know, I'm not going to sit here and play Monopoly with you for 12 hours for a draw. No, there has to be a winner. There has to be a winner in a war. There has to be a winner in a conflict. There has to be a winner of a game. I get it, unless it's tied. But this isn't a hockey or a baseball game that's a tie is going to be acceptable. Okay? Because if there was a ceasefire today, is Hamas going to stop? Maybe they'll stop today, but they'll continue again maybe tomorrow or a week from now. Israel is defending itself. Hamas fired from the Gaza Strip thousands of rockets unprovoked into civilian-occupied areas of Israel. Not military assets. They weren't targeting military assets. They were haphazardly firing rockets into Israel. Whatever they hit, and that was it. Israel is defending itself, and the way they're defending themselves now is putting troops on the ground and hunting down Hamas and exterminating them, because that's what needs to happen. Hamas needs to be exterminated. And our country should be standing behind Israel 100% and not giving a crap what these progressive, disgusting leftists are saying about stand with Palestine and all of this other nonsense. Well, then you're supporting terrorism. You should immediately be taken out of your office in Congress and tried for treason. You're a traitor. You want to support terrorists? Support terrorists. Just like if AOC would stand up. I'm almost wondering if they were in Congress in 2001 when Al-Qaeda, when Osama bin Laden flew two planes into the Trade Center, if the squad was in Congress at that time, and when we started the war, that's a whole other story. If they would have stood up and said, oh no, America's bad, they probably would have. They probably would have. Just like when they turn around and say January 6th is the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War, but forget about 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, because that's what these sickos do. But Chuck Schumer, he also knows he's up for re-election next year. And it's not going to be a surprise. I think it's expected. I'm pretty sure old Chucky boy expects it. For AOC, progressive in his own party, a very aggressive progressive, is going to primary him. And I honestly believe if AOC primaries Chuck Schumer, she has a good chance of winning, unfortunately. And Chuck Schumer's washed out. AOC's got this sick cult behind her, and she may very well be the next state senator, and Chuck Schumer may go by the wayside. So he's trying to play nice with the progressives, but he knows deep down he supports Israel, but he's not going to say it, and he's not going to stand for it, and he's going to sign on to this ridiculous ceasefire. There shouldn't be just a ceasefire, because it's not going to work. Israel is doing what they have to do. They're crippling their threat. And I hope they keep doing it. Again, Chuck Schumer is the first Jewish Senate majority leader, okay, in the Senate. And his heavy support, Jewish support in the community helped him get to where he is. I talk about the Middle East with Israel. When Obama brought the United States to the table in the Iran nuclear deal and got us involved in that, Chuck Schumer opposed it, and actually he went after Obama for it. But then the hypocrite Chuck Schumer, when Trump pulled us out, he went after Trump for it and said he should have never taken us out. So it's that double standard. Chuck Schumer even back, I think it was 2019. I have it here. He turned around and he poked at one of the members of the squad. It was Ilhan Omar. He, in 2019, I have it right here. The Schumer delivered a speech at an American Israel Public Affairs Committee meeting in which he said, quote, "You can be all at once completely Jewish, completely pro-Israel, and completely American." And that was a poke at Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, terrorist, and who at that time was criticizing Israel hard and any supporters of Israel because she hates Israel. She loves Hamas. She's got AOC on board. She's got the other one, Rashida Tlaib on board, and that Ayanna Pressley out of Massachusetts, Mr. Clean, the one with the completely bald head. So he goes back and forth, and he knows he's got to, I guess he's got to tread lightly because of his election coming up. So just more hypocritical nonsense, more pressure from the progressives in the Democratic Party. Joe Biden is doing whatever they say. He's asking for a ceasefire, telling Netanyahu he expects a de-escalation. Not for nothing. If I was Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, I would have said to Joe Biden on that call, "With all due respect, Mr. President, you're not going to tell us how to defend ourselves. We don't listen to the United States. We have a strong threat here. We're going to defend ourselves, and we're going to do what we can to exterminate that threat, to eliminate that threat. And if you were anything of an ally, you would help us in every way you can, besides just selling us hundreds of millions of dollars in weapons." You know, obviously, you know, that's not helping. That's okay. We have these weapons. We're not going to give them to you. You have to buy them. So what are we going to do? Because it's going to be interesting to see what we do as a country in the next couple of weeks, because the Prime Minister Netanyahu made it clear that he's not stopping. He's going to do whatever he can to degrade Hamas's abilities to attack Israel. Chuck Schumer better get his head out of his ass. Joe Biden better get his head out of his ass. Our country needs to get its head out of its ass. People that think that are anti-Israel. Oh, like I've said this before. Like, I see the signs, "Queers for Palestine." Big signs, rainbow flags, "Queers for Palestine," "Gays for Palestine." They should take their signs and go to Palestine and see what happens. I've said this before. They would be murdered, slaughtered in the street for being gay. But they want to support. They want to support them because they hate America. They hate the police. They hate the military. And they hate being a free country. They want to be a socialist, communist America. And it's disgusting. And again, I've said it. And I'll say it again. I will always support our ally in the Middle East, Israel. That's God's country. It's God's chosen people. We need them. They need us. And I would hope that it's not going to take the work of one moron in the White House to destroy the alliance we have with one of our, if not the best, closest ally we have in the world. Anyway, enough with that nonsense. On a positive note, I know in New York, anyway, in a lot of states, it took New York long enough. The CDC, we know they changed their mask guidance. I said that before. New York, as of today, today's Wednesday, the governor has lifted the mask mandate and has adopted the CDC guidelines, which I'm surprised about. But then part of me is not, because his daughter's getting married this summer. So he's got to make it right for her wedding so everybody's not sitting around in masks. So apparently you don't have to wear masks indoors and outdoors if you're vaccinated, but they're not going to tell, then no one's going to ask you if you're vaccinated. You're going to get some stores saying that you still have to come in with a mask, I'm sure, but the big box stores that you go shopping at, so far right now, they say you can go in without a mask, and they're not going to ask you. They can't ask you anyway. You're entitled to your medical privacy. Nobody can ask you if you're vaccinated. I've been asked if I'm vaccinated, and my answer is it's none of your business. I'm entitled to my medical privacy. But I do, I'm not getting the vaccination. It's my choice. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. You want to get it, get one. You can have mine. I just, I identify as vaccinated. I am a vax gender. That is how I identify. You can't say anything about it. If you do, you are a goddamn bigot. So I'm going to leave it there. I want to thank everybody for listening. Again, the unwavering support you've all given me is great. Go to the website, TheGreatDivide1776.com. Check out the episodes. Get over to the YouTube channel, social media, The Great Divide Podcast with Alan Jacoby. I got some, I'm launching a pretty awesome patriotic clothing line. It's going to be coming soon. A lot of neat designs coming, patriotic designs. You'll be able to check that out on the website. Working on a few other things. And hope you'll all stick around and keep joining me on this patriotic journey we're on. So remember, as always, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, take care of your family, and above all, God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at TheGreatDivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.